You're listening to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with an emphasis on homeopathy.
Hi, I'm Jody the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr the doc, and welcome to Mom and Doc Talk. We are excited as always. I know, like I said, every single time I say how excited we are. I'm very excited for our guest today. We are joined by Zach Oates. And I was telling him before he joined that we were making sure that we made time in his very busy schedule that we could get him on this podcast, because there is such a need for people who identify as males to share their experience, because so many of the people who come forward and talk about it have been female. So we're very happy to have you here, Zach, because I know that there's a need for people to see themselves both in a condition and in recovery. And the fact that you're willing to come and chat with us is so important. So that's why I'm like super excited to have our conversation today. So let me introduce you really quick, and then we can dive into our conversation. So Zach Oates is a 27-year-old from Seattle, Washington, living with pandas. Zach found out that he had pandas at age 23, so a bit older when he found out. It was right after finishing his undergraduate degree. He experienced panda symptoms beginning as a young boy and continuously on and off throughout childhood and teenage years before finally determining that pandas was the cause. Zach has been doing homeopathy with Resilience since 2019 and has improved immensely from where he was 5 years ago. He's just finished his master's degree in occupational therapy and hopes to eventually work with kids and adults with pans and pandas in his career. Zach, congratulations. I knew you were working on that. And like, so, oh my gosh, so much time has gone by and I haven't talked to you much recently, that like, holy cow, that's congratulations. I'm so excited to hear that you got your education completed.
Yeah, thank you. I know. And honestly, it seems like it went by pretty fast, but it's crazy to think like how much things have changed in the last few years. So thanks.
Yeah. I remember when you were telling me, like, you were considering which way to go, and you were telling me that, like, because of your experience, you really wanted to have an impact and work with people who had suffered as well, which is just huge. It's one of the things I think is such a huge gift of PANS, is that it can help us connect with others. Because like you, I figured out a lot older that I likely had PANS because I had all the symptoms when I was younger. So let's just go ahead and dive in. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. First off, thanks for having me. I'm really excited. Hopefully something I share today can be helpful for somebody listening out there. So you kind of mentioned most of what I would say, but yeah, I'm 27 years old, back living in Seattle. I've been kind of bouncing around the last couple of years doing grad school and my clinical rotations, but back in the Seattle area. I've had pandas probably since I was around, around 5 years old is kind of what I was talking to my mom about, like kind of the earliest signs that we noticed. And we initially kind of figured out what might be going on when I was around second grade, but ended up learning that pandas was actually what was for sure going on when I was a lot older. And I can get into a little bit more about that later. I originally graduated from Gonzaga University with my undergrad in business, and determined a couple of years after that I was really more interested in doing something that could help people. I was really interested in mental health and psychology. So I was kind of looking at different healthcare careers that I could switch to, and learned about OT and realized that I could do a lot with it. And it's kind of exactly what I wanted to do. So yeah, the last couple of years made a big career transition, but really excited that I've gotten to the point that I'm at now and can start working with different populations. And like you said in the intro, hopefully one day being able to work with people with pans and pandas would be awesome.
Yeah. So you didn't figure out until way after the fact that you had pandas, right?
Yeah.
What did you go through to figure that out? Like, did you see somebody get an official diagnosis, or were you just putting pieces together? Share us a little bit about that experience of getting a diagnosis.
Okay. Yeah. So really early on, like I said, around when I was like 5 years old, I think is when we started noticing like the earliest symptoms. So I was having a lot of different troubles, like OCD wise, anxiety. I even actually worked with an occupational therapist for fine motor. At that time, pandas wasn't really well known. My mom actually came across it in a research article or something that she was reading. And we talked about it with a naturopath that I was working with at that time. And they kind of dismissed it because it wasn't like an overnight thing. They were saying that it only happens if symptoms occur overnight, and mine had kind of been going for a while. And I think now people know that it doesn't always work like that. So we kind of figured out that PANDAS was what was going on after I finished my undergrad degree. During my senior year, I actually got strep and mono at the same time. So it was not fun. And then right after that, my anxiety and OCD, all that stuff got a lot worse. And that was kind of a pattern that I think we noticed all throughout my life, was that every time I got sick, my mental health symptoms and all that kind of thing would get a lot worse right afterwards. So after that happened my senior year, I was in one of probably one of the hardest times for me, mental health wise. And so my mom's been great, and she's always really willing to kind of do research for me and reach out to different people. And so she came across resilience, and we started learning. I can't remember if we learned about resilience or PANDAS first. It may have been PANDAS first, but we kind of connected the two together. I was working with another naturopath at that time too. We did some different lab tests, saw my strep levels were really, really high. And so through doing some different tests, we learned that PANDAS was likely what was going on. Never actually got like a medical doctor diagnosis of PANDAS, but through working with the naturopath, we determined that was what was going on. And then kind of right after that, started working with resilience. So I think summer 2019 is when I had my first appointment. And then, it's been like, you know, an up and down journey, but I know where I'm at now is like so much better than I was back then. So it's been cool to see how well it works.
Yeah.
Zach, PANDAS is different for everybody. What has your experience with it been like?
Yeah, good question. So I think for me, the things that always come to my mind first are kind of the OCD and anxiety symptoms. Those are the things that I feel like still probably impact me the most on a daily basis. So really a lot of different types of anxiety that I experience. A lot of is like performance anxiety, pretty intense performance anxiety. OCD wise, it's a lot of obsessive thoughts about anything really. It kind of has different themes that it takes on, and then kind of an intrusive thoughts along with that. So I guess getting into a little specifics about the OCD, I know growing up and then still even sometimes I'll worry a lot about kind of like being a good person type things. And then, you know, even going over the top, like, you know, I'll do a little thing and then my brain kind of gives me the intrusive thought of like, oh, what if you did that? And then somehow it leads to like someone dying or something. So it's kind of like that worst case scenario thought pattern. So been dealing with that a lot. And then obsessive thoughts, really anything. I know when I was younger, a lot of times it was kind of like frequently checking if doors were locked or if faucets were turned off, even obsessing about like if I had an itch or something on my body, like obsessing about feeling that itch and not being able to focus on anything else. And there were times where it got like so debilitating that it was hard for me to even like talk to my family. Hard for me to go out and do things. So I think those are kind of the primary things that I have experienced. Also, I guess fine motor difficulties when I was younger. Let's see if there's anything, shaky hands, sleep troubles. So I think there's been a lot of little things that have kind of shown up in my like PANDAS experience. Today I would say the anxiety and OCD are the two that I still deal with the most, but I've found ways to be able to manage those a lot better and still live a successful, fulfilling life. So I think just, you know, the homeopathy along with learning a bunch of different strategies to manage everything has been the most helpful for me.
Yeah. So as you mentioned, you were older when you first figured this out and when we first met, already in your 20s and finishing up college. Mm-hmm. How did PANDAS impact you when you were like, you know, a teen and a young adult, you know, because those can be really impactful times, and like lots of really important relationships. So how did it just impact your life overall when you were younger?
Yeah, definitely. It was definitely tough. I think for one thing, I think mental health in general just wasn't, up until COVID, I feel like it was something that people really just didn't talk about as much. It seems like in the last couple of years, at least in my kind of close circle, people are way more willing to talk about those kind of things. But growing up, it was something that I just didn't feel comfortable talking about, any of the PANDAS symptoms I was having, but especially those like anxiety, OCD type things. So the only people I really shared that kind of stuff with was my family. Even my close friends, I didn't really share any of that. And I think I got very good at kind of like putting on a brave face when I would go out in public and hiding it. And so, I think But for most of the time, it wasn't extreme enough that it wasn't like that hard for me to kind of hide things. There were times where it was really hard. And then, you know, I'm sure my friends might have noticed different things here and there. But yeah, socially, I think it was difficult, just social anxiety, showing itself in different ways. Just like, I think it's naturally for all teens and young adults to be just comparing yourself to others. And so I definitely did that like times 100. And I think because of those things that my PANDAS made it a little hard for me, such as like, you know, one thing I didn't mention was like cognitive symptoms. Like I struggled with focus and attention in school, and those kind of things. And so I think that made it hard. And then I was always comparing myself, like, why is it so easy for my friend to do this, but it's so much harder for me?
Yeah.
And I think I'm naturally like, I was a pretty intelligent person. And so I could feel that I like had that in me, but I always felt like there was something like blocking. And I felt the same in like sports and social settings. Like, I feel like I had all these skills, but I just like wasn't able to fully access like my best self, I guess, and like most successful, confident self. So it was definitely frustrating. And I kind of just got used to kind of covering it up whenever I would go out in public. And then I think my family probably saw the most real version of me, because whenever I would come home, I would not hold back anything because I was so comfortable around them. And so, you know, sometimes that would be me just like not wanting to talk to them, or just being probably irritable and grumpy. And, but also my family's been amazing and supporting me, and, you know, I feel like I can talk to them about everything. So they were very helpful, with all that, but yeah, it was tough. I think I'm so happy at the place I'm at now, because I'm just so much more comfortable talking about it with people. Like I'm really open with sharing it with everybody. And I think just overall being able to manage it, and then feeling like I don't need to hide it as much, has been a big thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really curious. I recently saw a video from a comedian that was talking about how he always thought he was polite, and his therapist recently told him it was anxiety. I don't know if you've seen it. So like, basically he gives an example, like he was on a plane and like, he's like super anxious about trying to get off and making sure he's like looking, counting the numbers of rows until it's their turn, so he's prepared to be as fast as possible so he can get his stuff and get out of the way. And is like, he's stressed out that his wife is not really on top of it. So I'm curious. So like, people hide their symptoms, their mental health symptoms or their symptoms of PANDAS in lots of different ways. And so I'm curious if you have any thoughts, or if you remember how you hid it. And I ask this mostly because for parents listening, for their young sons, or for young men who might be listening to this, or young boys who might be listening to this and identifying, like it can sometimes be hard to identify, like I'm feeling this way, but it's coming out this way. Does that make sense to you? Do you know?
I think that makes sense. I'm trying to remember. I think a lot of it I probably have just kind of blocked out over the years.
That's fair.
For some reason, one thing that's coming to mind is like when I would play sports, I definitely had I think my identity was very tied to like how well I was doing in sports. And there was a lot of, you know, anxiety and obsessive thoughts that would come with that too. So I remember, you know, certain times playing basketball growing up where my anxiety would be so extreme, and I was just like, I can't keep playing right now. And so I think there was one or two times where I just asked the coach if I could come out because I said my knee was hurting or something, just because I couldn't handle that like overwhelming anxiety that I was having in the moment. And I think there were a few other times where I even just wanted to, like when I was talking to my family, I wanted to quit whatever sport I was doing, even though I loved it. And I knew I had, it was one of my favorite things, but it was just like this pressure that I would put on myself. And then, you know, it's like sports, especially when you play it at the high school level, are like pretty intense. So it wasn't really a place where I could kind of be like vulnerable and talk about anything I was struggling with. It was definitely a place where I had to kind of cover it up and act like, put on a tough front. So I'm trying to think of other ways that I tried to cover it up. I think a lot of it was just kind of holding everything together until I got home, and then just kind of letting it all out, venting or just having space to myself. Like, I'm definitely more of an introvert, but I think I'm able to kind of like turn it on when I'm around other people. And then I really just need that like recharge time. So I think just giving myself the space to recharge was like one way that I was able to manage like going out in public and doing everything.
Yeah. So as I'm thinking through, I'm glad that you brought up the putting on a tough exterior and the irritability, because I think that's a really important thing for people to be aware of, that for some people, irritability is not the actual symptom, right? It's a symptom of the symptom. And it's or like the toughness or anger or rage, like even to the point of rage. Rage can be because of OCD, and it can be because you feel so controlled and angry that your brain won't let you go. And that the only way to deal with that, like some people, depression becomes is because of OCD. And sometimes So lots of different things can be masking the true underlying cause. And for some people, they don't even recognize that what they're experiencing is OCD, right? Because there's unless you talk to people about it, you don't know that what you think and what's happening inside your brain is any different than anybody else. So I'm curious if you had any experience with that as a younger kid, that like what point did you recognize, oh, I'm having, like, what I'm experiencing is anxiety, and what I'm experiencing is like obsessive and intrusive thoughts?
Yeah, I don't think I ever really figured that out until probably way later, like in young adulthood, when I kind of like learned more about what those things even were. Like, I actually got a diagnosis of OCD when I was in second grade. I guess I can talk a little bit about that too at some point. But that was kind of when we first started seeking help for everything that I was dealing with. But that was when I first learned about OCD. But I think I probably fell into this too, and like kind of stereotypical what everyone thinks of OCD in terms of just like cleaning everything or like lining things up. And for me, it was like that plus way more than that too. But yeah, back to the irritability, I think you're totally right. Like, I was experiencing so much overwhelming things in my head that it was just, I think I would hold that in. And then especially around my family, just like not, I just wasn't feeling good. And so I would try to like fake being happy, because, you know, when they were in a great mood, I would want to be like in a good mood with them, but I just couldn't get to that point. And so oftentimes it would probably come off as me just being like really grumpy and cold. And I would kind of feel ashamed too. I'm like, why can't I just be happy with them? Like, why can't I be in a good mood with everybody? But I was just not feeling good. And so it would, like you said, it would come out as me just being irritable and grumpy. You know, I still even get to those points at times. You know, if I'm not on a good rhythm with the homeopathy and haven't kind of figured out my dosing regimen that works, I'll still even have those days where I'm like, man, like, I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to like fake being happy right now, because I don't feel like being happy. So I think you're totally right on that.
Yeah. Zach, let's talk about some of those things from the younger years and the figuring out process. What treatments did you guys do before you got to homeopathy?
Yeah. So I think we really kind of started seeking any kind of treatment when I was in second grade. I think that's when things got really bad for the first time. So I was at that point, I was having, you know, a lot of anxiety and OCD, but also like some pretty intense intrusive thoughts. I think at one point I was even like hearing voices. I know my mom told me that at one point I told her that I wanted to die, which is not normal, you know, from an 8-year-old to say that. So things definitely were not doing good then. I started doing talk therapy at that time after I got the OCD diagnosis. I think that was probably helpful to some extent. But funny enough, the thing that actually worked the most initially was we did homeopathy. We did went to a naturopath, and I started doing drops for homeopathy. And I remember we called them like the magic drops, because that was the only thing that actually really helped me. And so I think we did those kind of on and off for a couple years at that point. And I think that really stopped like my initial flare. And so then, you know, there was kind of flares here and there throughout the rest of my like teenage years and young adulthood, but that was the first one. I think talk therapy was something I tried. I know when I got a little bit older, I tried EMDR therapy. I'd done some research on that and wanted to give that a try. Didn't find a whole lot of success with that. I know for back to the sports that I was talking about, that was a big thing for me. And I had a ton of anxiety around playing basketball in high school. So I actually worked with a hypnosis therapist that was really, really helpful for me and helped me play pretty well in high school, just with different, it was very similar to talk therapy, but adding kind of that hypnosis therapy element. So those were different things I tried, and then just different supplements that worked for me, kind of sometimes like essential oils, different things like that, just to kind of make me feel better on a daily basis. And some of those things I still do today, like, you know, supplements are a big part of kind of what I do, and then along with the homeopathy and different kind of lifestyle regimens as well, I guess.
So it sounds like your family has always been really holistically minded. You know, you grew up in Washington, you still live in Washington, and naturopathic doctors, like one of our biggest schools is in Washington. So naturopathic doctors are like pretty, you know, accessible in Washington state. So, and it sounds like you used homeopathy like even before you probably had any recognition of what homeopathy was. So when you first found out about PANS and you also found out about our group and Resilience Naturopathic as a whole and using homeopathy, it doesn't sound like it was a very big leap for you. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I would say that's accurate. I think we didn't know obviously that PANDAS was what was going on until then. But yeah, we had a lot of experience with working with naturopaths. I think with my mom had some of her own health stuff when she was younger. And I think she kind of often found the most success when she was using a more holistic approach. So I think that kind of carried over to how she worked with us and how she parented us. So I think I got pretty close a couple of times to trying like psychiatric medication. And I never ended up doing it, which I'm thankful for. Although I do think it can help people if, you know, certain people. So I do take a medication for managing performance anxiety kind of when I need it. I don't take it on a regular basis, but I think medication can be helpful for certain people. But I'm kind of glad that we ended up going the more holistic route. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm curious because like you may be in a very different position than some other kids who might be approaching this, both the PANS diagnosis or PANDAS diagnosis and homeopathy, but I'm still curious if this might've ever happened for you. So we hear a lot, even with kids who've been using homeopathy for a long time or using natural therapies for a long time, that they'll reach a certain point and then they start to push back because their friends aren't using it or their friends think it's weird or they don't understand it or they just want pills or, you know, whatever. So I'm curious if you ever had any experience like that where maybe you pushed back against your mom or pushed back against any of the therapies that she was recommending.
Yeah, I think I don't think I ever did really because I was so desperate for anything that would help me. I think and at that point, I don't think I knew enough about health in general when I was younger. So I just kind of took my mom for her word and I was like, yeah, if you think it'll help, I'll try it. Luckily it did help a lot. I think definitely what you said about like friends and other family members not understanding homeopathy is something we've dealt with like since day one. I think there's a lot of people that just kind of say, oh, you know, I'm glad that it works for you, but like they would never try it themselves or they don't believe in it themselves. So that's been something that we have just kind of gotten used to. And I think I'm not going to make it my goal to like try to convince this person that it works if they're not on board with it. I'm like, you know, it's worked really well for me. And like, I think you should try it because I think it would help, but you know, some people just, they're not willing to try it and that's okay. So, but yeah, for sure. It's something that it's I probably don't advertise it a ton. I do want to be better about kind of being more open and sharing what I'm doing because, you know, I think it can help so many people, but there's some people that will just probably won't ever be willing to try something like that. And, you know, that's okay. They're lost. So
yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Zach, tell us a bit about your healing journey with homeopathy and what it's been like for you.
Yeah. So I think, like I said, it's definitely hasn't been kind of like a linear route to finding success. It's been up and down. And still even today, like I said, I do have bad days here and there. Where it makes going to work or doing whatever I'm doing that day really difficult. But I've definitely noticed that like my baseline where I'm at now is like so much higher than it was even 4 or 5 years ago when I first started. And I think the things that I've struggled with the most is whenever I'm switching to a new remedy or a new dose of a remedy, just kind of figuring out like the regimen, like schedule of when I need to dose or how much to dose. And I think I've gotten to a point where I definitely kind of understand my body and can kind of notice when things feel off and okay, maybe it's time to dose now. But it's still hard. Like there's still times where I'm like, oh, am I aggravating right now? Or do I need to take the remedy? So it's still tough. But yeah, I think I know the feeling. I've gotten to the point where I know the feeling of like when the remedy is working. I always describe it as kind of feeling like aligned. And so I definitely know like when I'm not feeling aligned and then it's just kind of trial and error of, do I need to take the remedy? Do I need to take less or more, or do I just need to wait right now? And the waiting can be hard too, because, you know, you want that like quick fix to feel better, but sometimes the best thing to do, like I've learned, I think from a lot of your guys' videos and then working with you guys is like, sometimes the best thing to do is just wait And so I've learned that that can be helpful too. So yeah, it's definitely been kind of trial and error, but I know I've like seen it work for me so many times, and there's been long periods of time where I'm doing so well that like I have a lot of faith that I know it's always going to work. Even if I'm get through a rough patch, I know eventually I'm going to find my way back to it working. So that's been helpful.
Yeah. I'm curious if there was ever a time in all the ups and downs that you really felt like homeopathy wasn't working. And if that had ever happened to you, what kept you going?
Yeah, there have been times for sure where I remember even saying to my family, I'm like, I don't think this is working, especially early on. I think it took me a while to get to a point where I like found a remedy or a dose that like was really, really helping for a long time. I would have like days here and there where I felt good, but finding that consistent good feeling like didn't happen for a while. And so I think early on I was like, oh man, like, is this just another thing that I'm trying that isn't going to work? But then eventually, like, I think once I hit that first patch of whatever it was, a couple months of like, you know, every day feeling pretty good, I was like, okay, this, I haven't had a couple months in a row of feeling good, like feels like my entire life. And so this is obviously what's working. And then consistently would be able to get back to that, you know, within different remedies and stuff. So, but yeah, there were definitely times where I was like, man, I don't know about this. But now I think I'm at the point where I trust it so much that I just know that if I'm not doing well, it's because I just haven't figured out the schedule or whatever it is, the regimen. And I've tried like lots of other things, like I talked about, to kind of help my anxiety and OCD, but there nothing has the same impact on me that homeopathy does. You know, there might be like a minor influence, but I know that that is kind of the main thing at this point that just helps me get into that, you know, that feeling of being aligned. So.
Yeah. I love that you say aligned. I always feel like that's so much more like, I don't know, eloquent, that I usually am like, life just feels easier when I'm responding to your remedy. But I that's like the idea of like feeling alignment, because that just, I don't know, it speaks like to like a higher thing that's happening than just like life feels easier.
Yeah. But it does though. That's a good way to put it too.
Zach, what do you love about homeopathy, and what do you hate about homeopathy?
Oof. That's a good one. Man, I'm not to have to think about that. I think what I love about it is, well, I know that it works because it's worked for me. Like that's the main thing. It's nice that it's kind of easy to, well, I don't know. It could be a good and bad thing. I think, you know, sometimes it's tough that you kind of have to plan out making sure that, you know, with your meals and like your activities throughout the day, that you can take the homeopathy and, you know, with that period of time before and after to make sure that it actually works. So I think that does take some planning, which maybe that could be the worst thing. Like that it can be a little bit annoying sometimes, but I think it's nice that it's, you know, you can take it with you wherever you are. A lot of times for me, I've found a lot of success doing like water dosing. So that can be a little hard to do when you're out and about. But it's nice if you just have to put like a pellet in under your tongue. Like that's pretty easy because you can just carry it with you. Although, yeah, like I said, the water dosing makes it a little tricky sometimes. So just kind of, I guess, managing out your schedule is probably the most annoying part, I would say.
Zach, I'm curious how PANS or PANDAS has shaped your life.
Has shaped my life. Yeah, I think a lot of it I've probably gone over. I would say I think some good things that have come from it. I think it's helped me just be more of a, well, for one thing, it's kind of helped guide what I wanted to do with my career. I think when I was doing business and got my business degree, I just never felt like really fired up and excited about my classes or anything I was doing even afterwards. And I think doing OT, just because it is healthcare and can treat or and work with, you know, so many things that people with PANS and PANDAS deal with, and just kind of meets my interest of working in healthcare and psychology. I just feel so much more excited. And I think, you know, going through all the struggles that I went to, it kind of forced me to learn a lot about healthcare and, you know, just even trying different things to make myself feel better was kind of what helped me learn a lot about health. So that kind of has pushed me in this direction, and then I'm really excited to make that my career and like do that on an everyday basis. So that's one way it's affected me. I think it's made me, I think I'm naturally a pretty kind person, but I think it's made me just somebody who's very like empathetic and just kind, just knowing that like you have no idea what kind of battle everybody's fighting, and like I would say probably a lot of my friends like had no idea that I was having a lot of struggles growing up, because I just like was so good at covering it up when I would go out in public. And so I think just kind of knowing that, and like everybody you meet is dealing with something, and so just kind of offering them that kindness and empathy is something that I think going through all these struggles has made, like, it's just kind of a natural thing for me now, which I'm very thankful for. So yeah, so I guess those are the big things. And then also just kind of knowing that I think I've become like more resilient, funny enough, from all this, like just going through a lot of like hard times and just always being able to come out the other end. So, you know, even like recently with different, like studying for my exam that I had to do for OT, and like getting through a couple tough clinical rotations, like there were really hard days where I was like, man, I really don't want to keep doing this. But I think it kind of, all the struggles that I've had, it just kind of helped me become like a fighter, and like just knowing that like I'm going to get through it eventually kind of mindset. So I guess that would be kind of the big ways that it shaped me.
Sounds like a lot of positive things have come from having the PANS experience. Like, I mean, I expected that you were going to give us some negative things, and so I was going to like try and put you to the positive, and you just went right to the positive, which, I mean, it speaks to who you are as a person. But also like really truly being able to see that and being in a place, I'm sure if I had asked you this like 5 years ago, the answer would have probably been pretty different, because you were just in a much rougher spot. So I love that you've reached that point that your go-to is like all these positive things that.
And I'll say one thing too, off of that, I've noticed definitely that when I'm feeling good, it's very hard for me to kind of put myself, it's almost hard to even like remember what I was feeling like when I was bad.
Yeah.
It's a very strange thing that goes on in my brain, but it's like, I think back, I'm like, how was I at a point where I was so bad and couldn't even speak to people around me when I'm feeling good? So it's always kind of like, when then that helps the other way too. Like when I am not feeling good, it's like, okay, I know I'm going to get out of this because I've been out of this so many times. But it's a weird kind of separation. You almost feel like a totally different person, like when you're feeling good versus when you're not. So
yeah. Zach, what would you share with boys and young men who are struggling with symptoms that might be PANS or PANDAS?
Yeah, good question. I would say, I guess I would say, you're probably not alone. I think, I know it's maybe a little bit more different for young boys. I think, if you have people in your life who you can speak to about the things you're struggling with, but I think as you get older, I think it is sometimes harder for men, I think, to talk about just to be vulnerable and talk about any mental health struggles they're having. I think, it's maybe a little more taboo, or it's just, I think men are oftentimes seen as like people who should just, you know, kind of like man up and get through it. So I think because of that, it can be hard for men to talk about the struggles they're having. So I would say, even if you're not hearing people around you going through similar struggles that you're having, it's out there. Like there are so many people going through what you're going through. And so hopefully that can offer like some comfort. And then at the same time, like just finding somebody who can be like your support system. Luckily for me, it's my family. I know not everybody's that fortunate. So just find, whether it's like finding a therapist or whatever, just being able to talk about it is a huge thing, and just kind of dealing with what you're going through. And then I would say too, like, just be open, being open to trying anything. Like I wouldn't have said that homeopathy was something that I wanted to try when I was younger, but I think just doing research and just being open-minded that even if something you're a little skeptical about at first, just try it, you know? So I think just being open that there's a lot of different ways that you can find healing, and like you can find healing, even though it feels like you may never feel better. Trying to have like those mindsets, I guess, is one thing I would say.
I love that. So basically like recognizing that they're not alone. I feel like it's important to say that the last numbers I saw was 1 in 200 kids likely has PANS. And we think that that is low, especially because of like what you said, that people think that there is this necessity to have the sudden onset overnight. And that's just not true. Like nearly half of kids don't have a sudden onset, or like you can look back and in retrospect figure out maybe when things sort of changed, but it's not like this falling off a cliff for a lot of people, or things like are like explained away as like developmental things, you know. You know, kids go through transient tics or transient whatever, that, you know, maybe it was actually the first sign of PANS and it just got waved away as being like a thing that kids go through. And I love that you brought up the challenges and vulnerability and like the expectations that society puts on men and boys, and to just be tough. Like, I mean, you even said it yourself, right? Like you toughened up when you were in sports and you didn't like show any of the stuff, or like, and like even to the point that you, rather than talk about your emotions, it felt better to pretend you were hurt, like physically hurt. Which is itself like a thing that you're not necessarily supposed to be, you know, doing in sports, right? You're supposed to like suck it up and drive on, right? So like that just tells you like how bad you must have felt that it was okay to fake being hurt, to like not have to say, I don't feel good inside, or I'm scared, or I'm my brain is taking control of things. So So I love that you are being vulnerable and sharing your experience, and hopefully inviting others to have that same vulnerability so that they can recognize that they're not alone and get the help that they might need. If they're feeling scared all the time, or feeling angry all the time, or feeling sad and don't have a lot of hope or support, it's out there, and it doesn't have to be that way.
Sure. And I would add to that too. You made me think of another thing. I think going off when I was saying how I would like fake being hurt, I think there were a lot of times as part of the kind of mask that I put on when I would go out in public, is I probably was kind of dishonest sometimes, or I would like lie about certain things. And, you know, I still, even part of my OCD is like worrying about things that I did in the past and obsessing over those. And so I still, even today, will like kind of sometimes obsess about like, man, why did I lie about all those things in the past? But it was just like a coping mechanism for me to get through every day when I wasn't feeling good. And so, you know, I think trying not to be like too hard on yourself, in that sense. But also knowing that like, yeah, like even other people around you, like they're probably not showing what they're really feeling. Maybe they're doing the same thing. Maybe they're lying about what they're experiencing. So, it can feel very isolating, but I'm sure that people around you are going through the same kinds of things. So, yeah.
I would say not maybe, I would say it's probably true that many people, maybe not everybody, but many people are not telling everything that they're dealing with. I'm curious. This is one of the things I talk about with Jody a lot, and is that like, I feel like homeopathy has the capacity to teach you things outside of homeopathy itself. So I'm curious if homeopathy has impacted your life in any way outside of the improvements that you've seen in your health. Like, has it taught you anything?
Yeah, I'm trying to think about that. I think it's made me more open-minded to kind of, like I said, just like being willing to try something that might help me feel better. But also I think, it's kind of tough to even, I try to describe homeopathy to other people, and I think I struggle being able to describe kind of how it works or why it works. And so I think I've kind of used that. I didn't learn this just from homeopathy, but I think there are certain things out there, whether it be in health or whatever, that are just hard to explain. And maybe it can be difficult even to back up with like research or data, but it's real. Like, I don't know, I've experienced so many things that are just like, it's tough to explain, but like it is real, you know? So I carry that with homeopathy too. Like, I know there is research to support it and everything, but the strongest evidence that I've had is just my own experience with it. It's tough for people to understand if they haven't had those same experiences. So I think homeopathy has taught me just to, just be more open-minded in general, and that not everything can be explained not everything is easily explained, I guess is how I put it.
I'm just like you, Zach. No matter what research you put in front of me, it didn't make sense to me until I experienced it myself. And I'm like, well, that's the evidence that I need. Yeah. And then, you know, once I saw that it was actually helpful and made a significant difference in my life, then I was like, okay, I guess that works. I guess what is it? Is it Missouri that's the show me state? I guess we're the show me people.
Yeah.
Zach, do you have any final thoughts for our listeners?
I don't think so. I think hopefully something that I said today resonated with people, especially like you said, young boys or young men who are dealing with similar things. So Hopefully it was helpful in some way, but yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you for sure that it's going to be helpful in so many ways. There's just something so special about the fact that you're willing to come and be vulnerable with us. And like, even just looking at you, I feel like I'm literally looking at hope. And the fact that you were willing to come and share your journey and your experience with us it's a really big deal to us as Pans and Pandas moms, and also the young adults that will listen to this episode as well. So thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks for saying that. Appreciate it.
Well, Zach, I wish you well in your new career adventure that you're taking off on. And I know that you're going to have a really big impact on lots of kids with Pans and Pandas. And I really hope that our paths continue to stay connected, that you'll stay in touch, and that I hope to see you presenting at conferences alongside me someday, and that we can have you back as a professional once you get your groove in as a Pans and Pandas OT. We would love to have you back to share the experience of somebody who's lived it and then who is helping others work through it. So I'm very hopeful that we will have lots of opportunities to cross paths again in the future.
Yeah, I'd love that. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for joining us today, Zach. Take care, everybody.
Bye, guys.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We try to get a new episode out every week. You can make sure you don't miss any by following us on Spotify or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. If you want to connect with us more, join our Facebook group, Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas, where we have exclusive weekly videos and answer your questions about, you guessed it, homeopathy for Pans and Pandas throughout the week. If you are already a member, give us a shout out and let us know what you thought about this episode. If you aren't on Facebook and would like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. Until next time, take care and remember, this won't be forever.